Welcome. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. It's the 28th of August, 2013. And today we're joined on the line by Mother Agnes Mariam de la Croix to talk about what's happening in Syria. So, Mother Agnes Mariam, thank you very much for joining us today.
Please. Thank you.
All right. Let's start by talking about yourself. For those who don't know about yourself and your background, tell us a little bit about your experience in Syria.
I am not Syrian. My father is Palestinian from Nazareth. He is a Palestinian refugee from 1948 in Lebanon. I was born in Lebanon. I converted to Christ at 19 years old and entered to a contemplative order. Then in 1994, I began a foundation in Syria of a monastery that was in ruin, a 6th century monastery, laying 90 kilometers north to Damascus. And after the completion of the restoration works, so we established there an international community for dialogue, peace, openness to both Muslims and Jewish, and also, of course, for cultural means like the restoration and conservation of the world heritage, especially of the Oriental churches. So I am there, as I tell you, since 1994, and we were a contemplative monastery, completely out of the public scene, you know. But during the event and the demonstrations, we noted a big, huge difference between what we were living, what we were seeing, what we were experiencing on the ground, and what others around us were living, and the everyday discourse of the international media, to the point that we felt it was like a plot. Something was going wrong. And this induced us as a community and as a head of this community, I was involved in getting better information and try to spread this information for the sake of innocence. Because while the international media were just talking about a peaceful demonstration, a huge peaceful demonstration and fierce oppression, never giving the name of the victims, In the background, you had this squad working in the midst of the civilian population and making every day out of terrorism dozens of dead people. In one day, in Homs, I have seen 100 corpses, and it was not covered by the mainstream media, so it is a scandal. And so I was involved to talk about what was really happening, what we were seeing with our eyes, what we were hearing, what we were experiencing, out of any alignment. I am not aligned. I don't have any political purpose, but it's a humanitarian witnessing. It doesn't mean that we don't want a change. We are to support any change toward best condition of life, of dignity, of freedom, For the civilian population. So we were like this, and then slowly by slowly, many peacekeepers in the world begin to talk to us, were interested by our efforts, and so we made a kind of network. In October 2012, we founded the International Support Team to Reconciliation in Syria. Reconciliation is Musalaha in Arabic, and since then we are called to go many places and to meet with big personalities to always advocate the cause of peace, the end of pacification because we don't want that the scenario of Kosovo, of Afghanistan, of Iraq, or of Libya will be edited in another version in Syria. This is scary. And because we are living on the ground, we can raise our voice. It's not like coming from outside and being a stranger. That's what we do.
Well, let's talk about this issue, because of course getting accurate information is extremely difficult from Syria right now, especially as it seems we're ramping up for another type of military action there. And obviously everyone is wondering about the chemical weapons attack that was alleged to take place last week on the outskirts of Damascus. What can your network tell us about what actually did or did not happen there?
You know, it's not the first time we can underline a kind of suicidarian way of acting of the Syrian government, because this is the way the mainstream media are always wanting to present this government. Every time you have a very special agenda, a very special events that will occur either in the Security Council, UN Security Council, or when you have a deadline, you know, this poor government will perpetrate something that will achieve him. So there is something that is not reasonable, okay? And on the other hand, we have been, I was in Damascus, and not very far. We were, you know, just nearby the hotel where the Commission of Inquiry for Chemical Weapons has just arrived. So from this to the Abbasin Square and to Jobar, you don't have flying, like bird flying, more than 2 kilometers. How is it possible, you know, for a chemical weapon to be blown up and not to have any smell, not to have anything? Second, everybody, you know, began to ask this terrible question. How is it possible that in a neighborhood like Jobar or like Ghouta al-Sharqiyya, where you have a conflict, deadly conflict, running on since months, it is, you know, in the frame of the big Damascus battle, neighborhoods, they barely have any civilians. Why? Because they are destroyed. Okay. And if they are not destroyed, the civilians, especially with the beginning of the counterattack of the army, because the army had counterattacks, I think the 21st or the 20th, we don't know why and how you had so many civilians in one place. Second, how is it possible in vacation and in such a, frame where families are scattered, barely you have civilians living there, how is it possible that you have so many children together? This is, you know, scary. So did they gather them? Why? And you see them all together, and we ask for an inquiry. Why? Because we want to know who gathered those children and who killed them. Okay. Second, we have heard in the same day, because it was before our eyes, more than 40 ambulances of the army coming out from those outskirts to the hospital in Mazdi. And we have been told that they were soldiers that were suffocated by the gas, by chemicals. So where is the truth? Okay. We call, and then I will tell you something. Why this rapidity to issue an accusation and immediately to enter in a war? That will, you know, this war cannot only chastise the government, or I don't know who is the perpetrator. Let us suppose. But this war, as we have seen everywhere else, this humanitarian war or this chastisement punishment war, will punish innocent. You know, and this is not acceptable. And nobody is accepting it. And it, as we are saying to the world, enough, it's enough. We don't know why you are always orienting your strength and your power against the civilians, against the innocent. You say big titles, but in reality, what you are doing on the ground is killing innocents. You know, it's not that we want to defend a party against any party. No, all of those people are human beings. But the innocent, those people who are not, you know, sided, that are not taking any side with anybody, just being there in Syria, what will you do with them? You will kill them. We have had how many injured people and killed people we have in Afghanistan. We had 1 million in Iraq. We had hundreds of thousands in Libya until today. So what is the justification of such a mass murder committed to punish? We don't know which perpetrator, because how is it possible to issue accusation before a real compliant inquiry? This is against all the laws. You cannot, and that's what the Vatican is saying. That's what all the spiritual leaders of Syria are saying. That's what Nobel Peace laureates are saying. But are we going to be heard? Because now this coalition, they were 150, and we see that there are maybe 6 or 7 countries. This coalition, you know, what is the legitimacy of this action? And if there is no legitimacy, it means that every injury, every death that will occur from this invasion is a crime. And that's why we call for reason, we call for this de-escalation of this conflict, we call for the, you know, a kind of ceasefire, but real ceasefire. We have to talk to those third part who were also attacking the inquirer, because someone doesn't want that the truth of this chemical attack will be really, you know, known and completely verified. So we call, you know, for one, that the Commission of Inquiry on Syria will come to Syria, will make its inquiry with observers, international observers. We need international observers so that the public opinion will be sure that it is not a trick, that it is not a hoax, that it is not a justification that entered in some kind of hidden, occult objectives, aims, you know, that whatever they could be, as reason of state, as right to defend our own interests, you know, or even right to protect. It's not like this. We have to stand against such an act, because it's not the first time they are trying it, and every time it failed. It didn't give any added value to a turbulent situation. So I am really fearing, and I will tell you something else. And this is what is said in our neighborhood. In our neighborhood, there is no government. We are under the armed opposition control. But the armed opposition is split in various factions. The liberal one, that is called Free Syrian Army. Normally, this Free Syrian Army is supported by the coalition, the international coalition against the Syrian government. But the also, and this is the paradox, the Free Syrian Army is telling us that in case of an American aggression, Al-Qaeda, Jubhat al-Nusra, and the Islamic State of Iraq and Lebanon will have the supremacy and will slaughter everybody. So you don't have only the threat of a foreign invasion, international invasion. You have also the threat of the reinforcement, the sudden reinforcement of thousands of mercenaries that are terrorists, that are kept under Ketagon. It's a resource enhancer drug that gives them, you know, the power to perpetrate atrocities without feeling it. And everybody in Syria, you know, is under this it's like in a scary movie. Everybody is just wondering what happened. The woman, children, ancient people, all the civilian families, where they will go. Already until today, you have 6 million of displaced people in Syria. You are not attacking a bold new entity. You are attacking an injured body. You are attacking a man who is already completely deprived of its infrastructure. You know, the Syrian entity is already, you know, striken with 2 years of the most devastating aggression. Okay, so, you know, once again, I say, are we entering in an era of barbarian? Barbarian superpower, where everything is justified for those who have the power, where the international law can easily be in a very capricious way be either obeyed or not obeyed. Sometimes it has to be applied, and some other time it has to be bypassed. Where is the United Nations? Where are all the principles on which our civilization is laying? Where are the principles, the laws of the international humanitarian law? Where are we heading? Who is ruling us? There is no more international community. We don't have any hope in the United Nations. So there is no references, it means that the innocent are completely, you know, delivered without any defense to the occurrence of those powers, superpowers. I think that we are entering in a barbarian era. It's like, you know, the big invasion. It's an invasion. And we have nobody to defend us. We hoped that the civilized world, you know, will come to Middle East and to the Levant to assure a place of peace, of conviviality, of love, of tolerance, of civilization. We are the cradle of civilization, you see, where all the three monotheistic religions they spread, they outpour from here, and they spread all over the world. You know, the sons of Abraham. This place is a holy place. You are coming to the Levant. You are coming with what? You are coming with your plane, you are coming with your destroyers, you are coming with your bomb. Let them be very intelligent. We remember the intelligent bomb, how many injuries, how many collateral damages they have done, they occasioned in Iraq. You know, we have a memory here. So we are scared. We are in despair. But nevertheless, we believe in the goodwill. We believe in the goodwill of President Obama, who is a Nobel Prize, Peace Nobel Prize laureate. Please, President Obama, remember that you have been entrusted by the international community a trophy of peace and not a trophy of war. And continue to negotiate, continue to hear the Syrian population, not to interfere with more mercenaries, with more arms, with more terrorism, with more violence. Come and interfere with diplomacy, come and interfere with negotiation. You can get maybe better results than, you know, with this global invasion and attack on Syria.
Well, I wish I could share your optimism about Obama, but I'm afraid I think that he has long since shown that he is not going to live up to that Nobel Peace Prize. But having said that, I know that you have traveled around the world talking to political leaders in various countries, and in your travels, what is your impression of why the international community is so quick to try to turn this situation into an excuse for war? What is the bloodlust that's driving this?
Look, to tell you the truth, every time I have been talking to a high-ranking decider, high-ranking personality in the world, he was always, you know, moved to accept my point of view that diplomacy is better than violence, than that Geneva II can be a chance for everybody, you know. Now, and many have changed their way of acting and their politics following our peace talk. Okay, I have to say this. Now, what we see is that you have a small lobby, few persons, but powerful. And those few persons, as we have seen in Libya, they are like prophets, you know, like dark prophets, like false prophets. And they want to persuade the big leaders of the world that this way is the unique way to have the objective, the aim they are heading to. But to tell you the truth, I didn't arrive, I didn't reach the real explanation of this barbarian method, way of acting against peaceful, innocent civilian population. I really, it is demonic, you see. Excuse me, but I will make a comparison. Can you give me any explanation about the methods that were applied with the whole power of, you know, its possibilities by Hitler? You had few years where methods were applied on the highest level of a country. Do we have any explanation? Nobody can give any serious explanation. It's like foolishness, okay? It's foolish, it's barbarian foolishness. And we are entering, you know, as I told you, in the worst era of barbarian invasion, okay? We are not now fearing Mongol, we are not fearing Tatar, we are not fearing Hun. We are fearing United States of America. We are fearing France. We are fearing Great Britain. We are fearing, you know, countries that must give an example of restraint, an example of caring for the innocent, caring for the principles of human rights. You know, a civilian population has the right to be protected. What are you doing to protect the civilian population? If you protect the civilian population, how are you reinforcing mercenaries you have been fueling, financing, protecting, training, you know, and arming during more than 18 months and just unleashing on this poor civilian population? I have seen it with my eyes. It is not rebels it is not revolutionary against government. 70% of the Syrian ground, the Syrian land, is under those mercenaries who are unleashed against the infrastructure of the state and against the civilian population. One warlord from Al-Qaeda in Jobar precisely, he raped 500 women. So they are unleashed against the Singapore population, and nobody is making any accountability on their deal. They are just free to do whatever they want since many months. Nobody is coming to punish them together. Tell me about, you know, the massacres of Latakia. I was ashamed and scandalized that mercenaries, Al-Qaeda, invaded 10 days ago, only 10 days ago, 12 villages in the northern part of Latakia, in the mountain of Latakia. They made an ethnical cleansing. They made massacres. They perpetrated atrocities, opening the womb of the woman, beheading people, raping, and cutting in pieces with jigsaw the body alive, the body of woman. And we have photos and we have evidences. Tell me why this international community, which is so keen to protect the innocent, why didn't they move to come and protect those 500 civilians that were victims of an unjustified invasion? You know, all the mainstream media, they just said it was improvement, it was a step ahead, a military achievement of the armed opposition. It was not like this, you know. Even the Free Syrian Army was against this invasion, and you had also clashes between Jabhat al-Nusra and the Free Syrian Army, because Jabhat al-Nusra, coming from outside, this foreigner, you know, they had special orientation to perpetrate this massacre. Okay, immediately in Jobar, when they, you know, they fabricated this event, immediately you had the meeting of the Security Council. Why, for example, this way of acting here and another way of acting there? Why, you see? So I don't believe that this retaliation act is for the sake of the Syrian population, is for the sake of the Syrian revolution, is for the sake of anything that has value. Okay? This is a barbarian invasion. This is an illegal invasion. This is an act of war that is against the international community, the international law, and the international humanitarian law. And like this, we have the paradox that the biggest power on this earth are outlawed powers, you see. And now we find ourselves, you know, hopeless, because we have no international reference to go and to seek for protection. We just have to pray and we wait our fate. And I have people that wait to die because they say Jabhat al-Nusra will be reinforced and we will be slaughtered. And many villages all over Syria are prepared to this terrible fate. I accuse those who are thinking, you know, to perpetrate this invasion. I accuse them already, and I put on them the responsibility of each drop of blood, of innocent blood that will be shed in the Syrian soil, in the Syrian land. And second, if this so-called war will be enhanced, they will be heavily responsible, you know, to spread violence in the neighborhood, in Lebanon, in Israel, everywhere, and to shake maybe the international peace, and we will get maybe a terrible war. I don't know. So this act is an act of aggression, and it is heavily responsible of being a war crime and a crime against humanity.
Well, let's hope that it can be avoided before it comes to that. But for people in the meantime around really? Well, for people around the world who are listening or watching to this conversation who want the truth about Syria and what's really happening there, how can they follow your work and the work of others who are trying to bring that truth to light?
Well, they can type on the internet, ISTEAM or Analyst, Australian Movement for Reconciliation in Syria. They can be in contact with the peace people in Belfast that are headed by Mairead Maguire, and let them find, you know, a lot of peacekeepers all over the globe and make network to say once more, stop the war. The war must not be a tool of supremacy, must not be a tool of political or economical interest. War must be suppressed because war is the biggest plague against humanity. We must avoid war. Okay? And so there are, you have Retino War in Italy, you have many organizations or NGOs that are working and dedicating themselves, sometimes with very few resources, but with big heart for the sake of humanity. Now you have also a project to send human shield, volunteer human shield to Syria, as it was during the war in Iraq. Those human shield will protect vital sites in Syria. So the people, they can type, they can get in contact with the Retino War. Retino War is in Italy. They can get in contact with peace people. They can get in contact with peace people in Europe. AMRIS in Australia. Of course, you have the global, your site. What's the name of your site?
Globalresearch.ca.
Yes, the globalresearch.ca in Canada. And all over the world, you have also the Transcend, site of Mr. John Galton, Professor John Galton, and so many peacekeepers all over the world. Let us find who is our next door peacekeeper, and let us make a block to work with rapidness, and also with boldness and in coordination. To say no to this war that could be one of the deadliest of the history of humankind.
All right, a very serious subject, and I know everyone is paying attention to this right now, so thank you very much for sharing your time and your information with us today, Please. Mother Agnes Miriam.
And overall, we are praying.